Your call is now live.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harry Brelsford from SMB Nation, and I am thrilled to have a special edition of our weekly webinar series. Now, normally we hold the Pocket MBA webinars on Thursday morning, but this is a special edition TELUS seminar on Tuesday morning. And I'm coming to you live from the Seattle airport because I'm en route to the Kaseya conference down in Las Vegas, where I know I'm going to meet some of the people that work for our guests, who I'll introduce in a moment. So I'm pretty excited about what the next couple of days hold. But for everyone right now, right here, we have the next hour dedicated to a cloud conversation on making money as an MSP. And we have the we have Robin Robbins coming fresh off her big seminar in Nashville just a couple of weeks ago. And so quickly, let me introduce Robin Robbins, who I've had the pleasure and opportunity to work with for many years. So Robin, here's what I know to be true, is Robin Robbins, again, based out of Nashville, Tennessee, has created a brand and a successful technology marketing toolkit, and she supplemented her products with some cloud computing SKUs and opportunities, as well as in the managed services area. Robin joined our community, about 8 years ago at one of the early SMB Nation conferences on the Microsoft Redmond campus, and her introduction was magical. People got very excited. She's gone on to do quite well in the community and is a frequent guest and speaker at many events, and including her own, her big seminar that she's held for several years in Nashville, typically in April. So, Robin, with that introduction, that's what I know to be true. Right. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you for that. I was thinking about this the other day. I've been actually working in this particular niche for over a decade. And, bottom line, we have a lot of different programs for people. But bottom line, what we really do is we teach small to medium managed service providers, VARs, system integrators, whatever alphabet soup you like to have. We teach them simple, easy, and effective marketing strategies so they can get in front of not only more clients and attract more clients, but better quality ones as well. And that's what every program we have is about.
Yeah, and Robin, I guess let me add on to that, that what I would say is you just always seem to be in the right place at the right time. It's one of those things. I love sports analogies. I know they're overused, but the ball's in the air and it's coming down, and there you are in the end zone. You just have that magic of being in the right place at the right time. And quite frankly, that's what I think today's TELUS seminar is all about, is with the cloud computing opportunity. Robin, would you like to set the table, and then we'll jump right? I have some questions for you. What's your pleasure? Do you want to kind of set the table, and then we'll jump right into my questions?
Well, let me just kind of give a little background, just so people know when you ask me these questions, where my answers are coming from. And I think it's really important because there's a lot of quote unquote gurus who have, here's how you should do something, and I think it's really important to make sure, out of respect for the audience, that they know it's not just, where are you getting this information? What right do I have to stand here and say, here's what you do to market cloud? Like I mentioned, I've been in this industry for over a decade. We have over 4,500 clients, 4,500 clients from all over the world, primarily U.S. and Canada-based, but all over the world. And cloud obviously has been this big, huge, hypey thing that's been going on. And so about a year and a half ago, I started working with a small-ish group. And I say small-ish, it was about 180 MSPs, and working with them on how do we start using this cloud hype to figure out how do we put dollars in their pockets, right? And I got to tell you, first off, I give a lot of credit to the folks listening. Each and every one of you that's running a managed service business or an IT consulting practice, my hat goes off to you, because I'll tell you what, there's so many new things coming online so fast. For these guys to even try and figure it out is like a massive undertaking. And that's part of the value you bring to your clients. So never forget that. Because like I have people who are friends who are in the pharmacy industry or in carpet cleaning or in real estate and stuff, and they don't have to deal with that that constant churn of change. And that's what's really happening with cloud. And just when you think you figured what cloud is, what you figured it out, the rules change or new vendors pop up and new opportunities pop up. So it's a fast-moving train. And so I've worked with these 180 MSPs to kind of call a timeout as quickly as we can and put a game plan together and say, how do we make money right now with whatever resources and vendors and solutions we've got? And then also, where's the to use a sports analogy, where's the puck heading? You know, just to, like the Wayne Gretzky, the, you know, a good hockey player skates to where the puck is, a great one skates to where it's going. So we got to kind of figure out, how do we make money today? Because obviously we got to put money in the bank today, but also how do we make sure we're making good decisions in marketing, in product development, in customer service, in building the skill sets of our team, meaning you folks, so that, you know, 5 years from now, you're building the correct infrastructure and the right processes and systems so you guys can really make a good windfall of profit and not be out of business in 5 years. Because I think this cloud revolution is not something like managed services. That was a big change, but it didn't put people out of business. I think if the people listening on this call don't embrace this, I think it could be a real game changer from the standpoint of putting you out of business if you don't have a cloud solution in place.
Yeah, Robin, I'd like to jump in on that, and then I'll explain how we gathered the questions for today's show, and we'll jump right into the questions. But Robin, there's a couple of different pundits in the industry, and I have my own opinion about a possible contraction in the channel due to cloud. And I've heard as high as, and I'll call the gentleman a bear in Wall Street talk, but I've heard as high as a 60% contraction. I don't think it'll be that much, but I do think, you know, when we do our call downs annually to just double check our customer list and our subscriber list, we've had upwards of annually about 10% disconnects on the phone lines. So I kind of think the number might be a little bit closer to what we're traditionally used to. But Robin, you're spot on, and people have to embrace basically rebooting themselves to participate in the cloud revolution. And this is a long-term play.
Right.
But with that said, Robin, ready to jump in? Let me talk a second about our methodology. So what we did in advance is we solicited questions for this webinar, and quite frankly, the reception for the webinar has been robust. And I went ahead and took a few minutes this morning on the ferry ride over to Seattle and down to the airport to kind of summarize the top ones submitted by popularity in our research. And what I'm going to try and do is get through everyone's questions. But, you know, with a couple hundred people registered, it's going to be tough in the 60-minute call. So, Robin, you and I have worked together. I know we'll do our best. But I would like to say you can post the questions on the blog at cloudcomputingblueprint.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Robin, whoever, but we can all kind of jump in and try and help answer those folks. That's cloudcomputingblueprint.com. And go ahead and participate online with us, as well as we'll do our best to get to as many as we can. Now, Robin, first question is, what are most MSPs and IT consultants doing right now to get started on making money with cloud computing? Simple question, mm-hmm. Long answer.
Well, right. I think, you know, everyone keeps asking, well, what is the cloud solution? What is it? Because it, like managed services, you could say, okay, you get, you know, you sign up for Level Platforms or Kaseya or something like that, and you install this remote monitoring, and you include these feature sets and solutions, and you price it about this. And that's even though it took people a couple of years to really get their head around it, it's a pretty straightforward, here's what managed services is. Now, cloud is an entirely different animal altogether, because I've seen people making money in cloud in a lot of different ways, which is, in a way, it's encouraging. Okay, so it's not just one thing. And I've seen people making money selling what I would call, well, hybrid solutions or point solutions. So they've got the on-premise network, they're doing managed services, they're still maintaining a network, but they have put pieces of the network into the cloud. So like cloud backup is a real big, huge, popular one. The two most popular are cloud backup and hosted exchange. Those seem to be like the two go-to pieces, right? And most people are bundling that into a managed services type solution, network upgrade, that sort of thing. Now, what has also now come online, thanks to companies like Toggle or Channel Cloud or Point Click work, or even Artist and Infrastructure and OS 33. There's a number of these cloud platforms that are out there where now MSPs are selling what I would call an all-in cloud. So they're not only putting backup and email, but they're putting the servers and desktops in the cloud as well. So now your desktop really isn't a server. It's not a workstation here. It is not on my laptop. It's literally I am accessing it through various devices on a cloud-based platform somewhere. Now, and there's everything in between. And so the what is cloud really is open to interpretation for you, all of you listening. So that's the difficult part. I guess that's also the opportunity because you're not being forced into one solution. And hybrid seems to be the area where most people are making the majority of their money. And I'm using a broad term here because there's some people selling all-in cloud solutions, and that's all they sell, and they're doing very well. It's a very small percentage, but they're out there. So where people are making money right now, what I'm seeing, is going out into the marketplace and educating business owners about what is cloud, what is cloud computing, and what are the benefits. And from that, they're closing everything from these hybrid point solutions in the cloud to full-in cloud solutions and making money at it just as they would, marking up any other kind of service. I don't see a lot of people making money is reselling Office 365 and Google Apps. Now, I've actually sat down with the folks at Microsoft, and we've talked to people at Google, and they swear, they spit-shake, pinky-swear, there are MSPs out there making money reselling Office 365. But the way they're doing that is they're almost using it as a pass-through, and then they're making money on other services like help desk and managing devices, security on devices, backup. They're making money on a little bit of software development. And, Harry, if you ask me where's this going, I honestly think that given 5 to 10 years, I don't know, I can't predict how soon this is going to be, but I think the prediction where money is going to be made is in the folks out here listening in being true cloud integrators, meaning they are taking various different cloud applications and writing code or patches to make them work within an organization, providing help desk, being a consultant, almost like a developer. I hate this. I know a lot of you are cringing. I think that's where it's going. But right now today, hybrid solutions and really just going out in the marketplace and talking about it, it's shocking how much response is happening right now when you start marketing anything about cloud. And, again, not everyone's selling cloud solutions. A lot of them are just flipping that into traditional old on-premise network upgrades, managed services, and the like.
Yeah, Robin, a couple of thoughts. Last week on the MPN Live show, and, folks, you can see the link off on our main webpage at smbnation.com if you want to watch a 30-minute Microsoft Partner Network show. Last week I commented that the hybrid solution is the way, and it's like this. We're in an election year, and elections are run, and more importantly, won in the center, right? You don't win if you're too left or too right. And I submitted for the audience's approval that the hybrid solution is kind of a centrist approach. I think
exactly.
That's the reality.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So, hey, Rob, another question. Great response, by the way. What's the ideal market for cloud solutions? Why are they buying? So, you know, are we talking verticals? Are we talking geography? What's the ideal market for cloud solutions, Robin?
Well, what's interesting is it's the same folks that buy managed services. So if you're selling managed services, if you look at your best clients and what characteristics they have in common, typically they're successful companies. Fast growth is another one, especially if they have multiple locations. People who aren't cheap about technology from the standpoint of they're growing, they're successful, they're very entrepreneurial companies. They see technology as an enabler. So they realize, hey, there's value here. If I can get everything up and running and easy and convenient, we could be way more efficient. They value that instead of trying to penny pinch and hang on to a Windows 98 machine that's still, they're, you know, chugging along somewhere. I mean, so it's the same audience that you would be selling managed services to. Now, there are two areas where I see some extra like boost in the opportunity, okay? One is if you have companies who are brand new startups, because with a brand, especially if they've got investor capital coming in, because they're trying to run lean and mean. And if you can go in and say, Mr. Entrepreneur, I know you're trying to get your business up and running, and you're hiring like crazy, and your buildings and all. But what if we could just put everything in the cloud and give you cheap devices, or have people, you know, bring their technology to work, so to speak, and have everyone access via a web portal or a browser, and that way the capital expenditure is not as high. So startups is one area, and of course my marketing mind goes, well, geez, you know, that obviously people who are venture capitalists are good joint venture partners, people you want to partner with, because again, with cloud, we can lower the capital expenditure to get the technology to everyone. So that's one area. Another area, another group of people who are typically very hot, rabid buyers of cloud is anybody facing a network refresh. So if they're looking, they got to upgrade their server, multiple workstation software, and do this massive refresh, and they know they need it, those people are also very aggressively and actively looking at cloud solutions. Okay, so those are the two, like new startups, people with the server refresh. That seems almost like a no-brainer. I'm hearing from a lot of my clients that when a client or a prospect's faced with that, it's almost a no-brainer to flip them into a cloud solution all in or some kind of hybrid because, again, people are looking for a way to run faster, cheaper, easier. And I guess a third one would be any company that is growing and having multiple locations. So they have, you know, they're opening offices in different just different locations, growing fast. That's another really big opportunity for the cloud.
Yeah, and Robin, you got me thinking. If we think about the telecom sector, where we've played a little bit in that reindeer game over at SMB Nation, and the demand trigger is often a move. And right now, we moved recently. Robin, I don't know if you've moved in recent times. We moved. Our lease was up. It's really cool, Robin. We got a lot more for the same rent at a new location because of the recession. So, and in fact, we revamped a little bit, and we went Office 365, and we have an on-prem server to handle some basic accounting, but basically it was a pivot point, and so moves are a demand trigger. And Robin, the other thing I might add is that I've been really impressed. We also went to Salesforce. We left NetSuite, the ERP system, and we went to Salesforce. And that's a whole other excited, enormous cloud community that I don't think our MSPs and our computer guys and our SBSers, for whatever reason, we're not as tightly integrated with the Salesforce community as we probably should be. But
right. Well, it's mainly, I think, because they're developers. It's a community of developers.
Yeah.
They're writing code.
It's,
they're not installing networks. I mean, that's my whole point to where I think this niche in this industry is going to go. It's going to be, we are going to be a band of developers, meaning, okay, and let me interrupt you for a minute just to make this point because I think it's important.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
So we moved to Salesforce as well. So we, we have our CRM used to be on site. We outgrew it. So we looked at NetSuite. We looked at a bunch. We decided on Salesforce. So once we moved that critical app to the cloud, now, you know, our shopping cart's in the cloud, our email communication's in the cloud, my accounting software is in the cloud, our email's in the cloud, our backup's in the cloud. Pretty soon I'm sitting here going, well, crap, what do I need my server here for? You know, and when that happens, the switch happens in an entrepreneur's or business owner's mind where they're, pretty soon there's going to be everything's going to be web-based. Every new software that's coming online today is browser-based. And so the challenge now for me as a business owner is I had to find a development company that would use that would integrate things to Salesforce. So we needed, and we paid a developer quite a bit of money to take our shopping cart and integrate it into Salesforce. So that way when someone orders something, it directly goes into our CRM. We also had that hook in Zoomerang, which is our survey engine, and that's a cloud app, and we had to have that integrate into Salesforce, and ExactTarget, which automatically integrates, and now our accounting software to integrate, and we have to pay someone, because these are all different apps we use to run our business, but they don't talk to each other, and I think there's going to be an emerging market. I mean, the guys we use, they're called Tech Guys Who Get Marketing. .com. That's their website. And we use them because they were like the only guys out there who knew how to make those integrations. So they literally could name their price. And I know the owner, Mike Klein, and we've talked quite a bit. And Mike will tell you, he's like, I have to do zero marketing. He says, we can't even keep up with the demand coming in the door. And I know, I don't know if he wants me to share this or not. He told me, he didn't say not to share, but I know he's added over $1 million in profit to his bottom line, in the last year, and I think his company is under 20 employees, to give you an idea. So it's a very hot area.
Man.
Yeah, it's a very hot area.
Man, I really regret flunking out of C programming
right.
in college, Robin. I'll tell you, darn it, you're bringing back a little drama.
Right.
Hey, Robin, next question. How do you get a prospect to see the value of cloud solutions and or managed services? So, you know, sales cycle, how do we get them to close? How do they see the value?
Okay. So, and real quick, I want to answer a question that came in on the queue because it just took me a second. Someone said, what
sure.
do I have against Office 365? And it's really, I don't have anything against it, but most managed service providers just, you can't make any profit on it, you know, and you don't have control over the customer. So that's the main, I don't have anything against it. It's, you know, I don't got a horse in the race, but if I'm a managed service provider and I'm reselling Office, I think, what do they get, 6 cents commission or something? And,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's not even, you can't even, the cost of selling it costs you more to sell it than it does to, you know, so it's not anything against it. It's just, you're just not going to make a lot of money there. All right, so then the question was, how do you get a prospect to see the value? You know, it's the same, it's again, if we say it's, I think it's a, first of all, I think it's a sales problem, okay? So it's how you're positioning yourself, it's how you're approaching the prospect, it's how you're getting them in the first place, because I think the question that came in quite a bit when we polled the people who were on this call is, you know, I think it's stemming from they're going in to see prospects and they're presenting some sort of solution, and the prospect is saying, well, the price is too high, or they're saying, you know what, we're going to stick with what we've got, or something along that line, right? So it's classic selling 101, all right? So first off, you got to make sure you're selling to the right people, because you can't get someone to see value in something where there's no pain or there's no need. So in other words, you can't sell a diet program to skinny people. I mean, there's just no need. They're not going to see the value because they don't need it. So number one, you got to have the right target audience, okay? Second of all, your marketing and in the way you're positioning yourself to these prospects, they have to like you, they have to trust you, and they've got to want to hear what you've got to say. From my experience, and Harry, you've seen this as well, most managed service providers, cloud integrators, whatever you want to call yourself, IT consultants, position themselves as the Maytag repair guy. So they talk all about that we fix computers, we install networks, we infrastructure, help desk support. They tell all about the features of what they do. And in doing so, they're positioning themselves like we fix refrigerators or we fix cars or we fix whatever. And when you're positioned that way, you kind of get shopped on the cheapest price. So you've got to get them to like you, to trust you, and they've got to want to listen to you. And then the third thing is you really got to understand how to ask the right questions and be a true consultant so you really understand what is the pain that's driving them. Because obviously if they're in a sales call, if they accepted you in their office and they're listening to your shtick and they're going, okay, well, what can you do to help me here? There's got to be some need there because, I mean, I can't believe that people are going to have you in their office and go through this process unless they have at least some level of interest in making a change or buying something. So if they're not seeing the value, that means in your sales presentation, you didn't get to what's the real problem here. You really didn't get them to trust you. That's another really big thing. You know, they might think, well, you're good, but I can probably get this anytime, anywhere. You didn't create urgency to act now, and you probably didn't create a vision of what they want. Like, you know, if we get this installed or if we fix these problems, what's that vision look like? And, you know, the other thing, I think a lot of consultants don't do a good job at building the, well, first of all, the position in the prospect's mind, but also in getting people to trust you. Because, and Harry, I've done this in my office. We actually switched IT consultants a couple years ago, and we marched in our office about a dozen different IT, we called, I should say, a dozen people or so, who were all, we went Microsoft partners, so these are people that we didn't just randomly throw a dart. We put out the request and said, hey, we're looking to outsource to somebody else, and we said we're looking to buy managed services. We even said we're looking for someone to maintain this, and we're willing to pay it. And I'll tell you, the way, it was an eye-opener for me to see how most IT consultants operate. Some of them never returned our phone calls. Some of them, were abysmal, and they showed up late. They looked disorganized. The only collateral they had was a business card. They hand that to us. They were completely and utterly unprepared for the meeting when they showed up. They didn't even know what we did. None of them, and this is like none of them asked to even speak with me. I'm the CEO. Nicole did the original sort of, I want to say RFP, but it wasn't an RFP, but she put out the call. None of them asked to sit down with me, which is the CEO. I'm writing the check. So I see this, and this is a small sampling. I can't help but think, sure, you know, this might be just the consultants in Franklin, but I'll tell you, if I went anywhere in the country and did the same exercise, I'd see the same thing. Most of the people listening, you can't expect the prospect to magically see the value. And if you don't have a sales system or a process for uncovering pain, finding out what they really want, and then learning how to transition that into the value of what you bring, if you don't know how to do that and you just show up and wing it every time in a sales presentation, you can't expect that a prospect's going to automatically see the value and automatically trust you and automatically think that you're better than the other guys. You know what I mean? So I think you just,
yeah.
I mean, I can't really say, I mean, to give that kind of sales training, it would take, Harry, I've done it. I mean, I've got that kind of sales training.
Yeah.
It takes me 3 days to teach this. You know what I mean? So I can't, but what I'm saying is, how do you get the prospect to see value? It's not just like you just say this or you just do this one thing. It's a whole start to finish process that if you're not willing to learn it and master it, you know, you're always going to be running into that cheapest price, or you're getting shut down, or you're not even invited in the first place.
Now, Robin, in all fairness to the Nashville IT community and your search for an MSP, I couldn't help but think of a sports analogy. I went to college in Denver and saw John Elway play back in the day, and God help the quarterback that replaced John Elway when he retired. So, you know, serving the Technology Marketing Toolkit Corporation.
Right.
That's a pretty, kind of feel like I'm following John Elway. So, backhanded compliment by any stretch. But tell you what, next question. What's the best way to generate more quality leads? And that really cuts to the core of just maturing as a professional and being more efficient with your time. We struggle with it with our salespeople. So, generating quality leads, what would you recommend in a cloud environment, Robin?
Well, what I have found, there's two parts to this, okay? So first off, you know, it's about having a consistent market presence, and that's a big 50-cent word for basically saying you're just constantly marketing to your audience, because most IT consultants, they want leads, but the only time they do any marketing is when they desperately need them. So they're not doing any kind of ongoing marketing to build their brand, to build awareness. And you got to think about it. Most business owners, I'm not switching my IT person every other month. You know, if I'm a restaurant owner, I can advertise one time and get a big pop of customers coming in because, you know, going to a restaurant, it's a one-time thing. It's an easy decision, no problem, right? But if I'm switching accountants or if I'm switching my IT consultant or if I'm switching something like that, those buyers only come ready once every 2 to 3 years, right? Because, you know, typically they're not switching all that often or that frequently. So if you're not constantly marketing to them, then you're missing out on a huge opportunity. Now, here's what I will say. I talked about the 180 managed service providers, IT consultants I've been working with over the last year and a half. And we've been testing different kinds of marketing, emails, social media stuff, joint venture partnerships, all different kinds of things. And what we're finding that is getting the best results and is getting the most people are really down to like it's kind of based on what is called content marketing. I call it educational direct response, but if you go on Wikipedia, they actually talk about this thing called content marketing. And what content marketing is essentially a process of delivering really high quality and relevant news or advice or how-to information to prospects and customers to engage them. And by giving them this content, and the content can be anything from a free report to a webinar to like a teleseminar, just like you guys are experiencing content marketing right now. You give them that. What it does is it positions yourself as the expert, and it gets you in front of them, and here's the key part, earlier in the sales process than the I'm ready to buy now. Okay, because the content marketing that we're seeing, there's really kind of three pieces of collateral that everybody listening on the call needs to have, okay? And the first one, you really need to have a good web presence. And what I mean by web presence is when I go to your website, do I instantly know who your customer is, and do I instantly know what kind of benefits or results that you generate for your customers? If all it is welcome to our site and there's nice stock photography and little flash graphics going on and little techie, I mean, you instantly now just told me you're just like everyone else. So as soon as I come to your website, I want to see who do you work with, who's your ideal customer, who do you serve, and what results do you get for them? Because that's what most people are looking for. I mean, you know, I'm a business owner. I just want someone who's competent. I want someone who I can trust, who's going to take care of this headache that I've gotten, all these electronic technical things that are driving me and my staff nuts, and I'm looking for who's the most competent person to do that. And if your website doesn't convey competence, then you're losing a ton of opportunities. That's number one. The second thing, specifically for cloud, that I would recommend everyone has is some sort of a free report or buyer's guide that basically is what business owners need to know about cloud computing. Or, I mean, we could go to different titles. I've got a report that I give my clients called 5 Critical Facts Every Business Owner Must Know Before Moving Their Network to the Cloud. Okay? That report works like gangbusters. I mean, I had one guy just do an email out to his list, and he had, like, instantly 15 people download it and has already generated over $25,000 in business just off of this free report and putting it out there. So that's the second piece of content, like blog posts, free report articles, those kinds of things are working like crazy because the marketplace right now, meaning your customers, they have two questions. They're trying to figure out what is cloud and what are the benefits to me. All right, so you, all of you, even if you don't have a cloud solution in place, this is the crazy thing. You need to be telling your customers what is Office 365, what are Google Apps, what is Apple's iCloud, what the heck are these things? How can I use this in my business? What are the pros and cons? So that's what they're looking for, and the people who are out there providing this information to the marketplace are getting leads like crazy. And the third most important piece of content, and this is actually the best so far I've seen, is doing seminars or webinars on cloud computing. And I have consistently had clients, everybody from one-man bands who are just starting up. I mean, these are like, I'm serious, like one-man bands offering managed services or whatever they're doing, just getting started, to more sophisticated, larger, multi-million dollar MSPs, doing these webinars or lunch and learn seminars and consistently getting anywhere from like 25 to 80 people registering for these things and showing up. Now, Harry, think about this. I mean, this is crazy. You could do and I'm not joking. I mean, I'm serious. I'm even shocked at the results that are coming in. So I've always taught my people to do webinars and seminars. And we usually get, you know, if we did good, we'd usually get maybe 10, 15 people in the room, right? But we'd be selling managed services or security or backup or whatever. And 10 or 15 is good. You close 3, 4, 5 deals. Very worthwhile exercise, right? But when these guys are going out and marketing cloud computing, Harry, I have never seen this kind of response. And again, the reason for it is because the marketplace, meaning business owners, are hearing all this hype about cloud. And they're trying to figure out, number one, what is it? Like, really get their head around it. And number two, what are the benefits to me? And so those of you who are out there listening, hear me on this. If you're not going to your customers and your prospects and being the leader in this and answering that question, somebody else will, and they will steal that business away from you. I'm seeing it happen over and over again, and the opportunity's hot. And here's Harry, here's the craziest thing of all. Most of the people they're getting into these seminars, I'd say like 80% of them, they're closing on traditional managed services deals. So they're coming to a webinar or seminar about cloud computing, what is it, what are the benefits, all these things. And then when they are offering some kind of a network assessment, or we call it a cloud readiness assessment, we teach them to do that. And then when they go in there and they do the discovery, they end up selling them just old traditional managed services or some kind of hybrid. But the point is, so all of you listening, even if you don't have your cloud solution figured out yet, you can use this marketing to get in front of more people because it's just attracting people like crazy.
Yeah, Robin, as you're describing the current situation, some of the people on the call are going to remember this example, but it sounds an awful lot like the excitement we experienced with Windows 95 more than a few years ago. But when that came out, I'll give you a quick example, but a colleague, author Brian Livingston, used to do these workshops, and Robin, they would have 800 people down at the Hyatt in the ballroom for a one day, paying $295 to learn about when, you know, back in the day. So a little bit of an analogy connection. Well, Robin, let me ask you this. So let's get to the good stuff.
Okay.
I see you're launching a new program called the Cloud Integrator Blueprint.
Right.
So what is the program? When does it start? How do we get involved?
Well, you know, first off, and let me also point out to a couple, I want to give the people listening a few more free resources to check out. At the site that most of you, they're all listening right now, either through the webcast or on the phone, but if you go to cloudcomputingblueprint.com, there are several free resources. I mean, literally free. You don't have to opt in to get them. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay anything. And I've posted up like an email campaign, for example, just to give you an idea. I call it the Depth Finder email. Send that out to your list. I've had people responding. I had one guy call me last week, freaked out. He's like, Robin, I sent this out to my list. I don't know how many was on. I think it was over 1,000 people on his list, okay? But he got 191 people respond and say, yeah, I mean, because it was about cloud. And he's freaked out. He goes, I got a tiger by the tail, and I'm afraid to screw up. What do I do next? You know, so right now there's tons of free resources. So if you guys go out, and, yeah, this is all part of a program I am launching next or this week, actually, called the Cloud Integrator Blueprint. And really, well, all it is, it's like I mentioned, a year and a half ago, I launched a beta version of this, and we got about 180 MSPs, and it was really beta, meaning I was learning, they were learning, we're testing different things, trying different. I mean, we created marketing templates, everything from seminars, of course, you know, that's how I know they work, email templates, social media, to audio business cards, all these things, and we tested this, and we've had some big wins. And so what I'm doing is I'm reopening it again, and I'm going to take about another 100 people through. And essentially what it is, it's a live coaching program I'm going to deliver that teaches people how to attract more clients and better quality prospects using the cloud. Now, what's really important is that I want to make sure people know, what is this thing not? So it is not a program where you have to sell one kind of cloud solution. Because like I mentioned earlier, I have clients that are selling all different kinds of programs. I also want you to know, this is not just, well, here's one campaign you roll out. And it's not like, so it's not a magic bullet. It's not a get rich quick kind of thing. You know, it's really for people who want to know how to go to market with their cloud solution, how to introduce it to their client base, how to roll it out to beta testers, how to build the value. There is some sales training, but I want people to know it's not sales training that really relies on stupid sales tricks or comebacks, you know, oh, and they say this, you say that. I mean, that's like silliness, right? I mean, it's not about slimy persuasion tactics or nothing. It is literally based on what I've learned and studied from looking at big organizations when they launch new products and services. How do they do it? How do they do it methodically so that they are launching the correct kind of products, that they can get the right kind of customers in the door, that they can get it, make a profit on it? And that's really what the Cloud Integrator Blueprint is. It's just a simple, proven marketing launch formula, and we're doing this specifically for launching cloud-based solutions. And I'm seeing on the chat that people are saying, well, you know, is there a place where I can get a seminar, like a turnkey seminar kit? Yeah, that's one of the things that's in this program. So we walk people through that. And it really doesn't require that you're brilliant with marketing. It doesn't require you have a big marketing budget. Even if you failed at marketing before, I'm teaching people how to use content marketing. So I teach you how to fish, and then I give you the fish from the standpoint. I don't say, here's how you do a seminar. I like literally give you the PowerPoint, the emails, the direct mail, the telemarketing scripts to promote it, to get people in the room, the countdown checklist, the actual PowerPoint presentation itself. So that way we really don't have any guesswork in here, and you don't have to be creative, and you don't have to be a good marketer to use it. So that's essentially what it is. And so this is a live coaching program. It's going to be delivered via a series of live webinars. And the webinars are going to cover, first off, of course, marketing 101, right? We're going to teach you how to do better marketing, how to map out a plan, what to do first, what to do next, all those things. We also, it's made up of a series of marketing templates. Again, I give you the fish. I give you the templates from email campaigns to free report templates to seminars to telemarketing scripts, you name it. It's all in there. Another component that's in here is a series of audio interviews and video of panels of my clients who are successfully selling cloud, and they're talking about what their cloud solution is, so what vendors they're using, how they're packaging it, how they're pricing it, the margins they're making on it, lessons they've learned, who's buying it. And what I did is I made sure when I did these interviews that I got a wide range of people. So it's not just people selling Point-Click-Work or OS33 or Channel Cloud or Artisan Infrastructure or Ingram. I got different people, and so they're all using different vendors, and they're all talking about, here's my solution, here's the vendors I use and why, here's who we sell to, here's the price point. So that's another component of this program, is that community of people kind of sharing and collaborating on what really are best practices. So that's the problem. I'm giving it kind of in a nutshell. We're going to be launching it, opening the enrollment later this week. So this Thursday is when we're actually going to officially launch it. And it's not for everybody. I know not everybody is going to sign up, and that's okay. But if you're interested, we're going to be opening enrollment on May the 3rd. That's this Thursday. So you just have to go to cloudcomputingblueprint.com and get on the early notification list, and I'll let you guys know when we open enrollment.
Cool. And okay. Robin, question for you. I have this vision. I watched your most recent big seminar online from afar. That was really cool, by the way. I just really enjoyed being able to fit in your conference while I had some other things going on. Mm-hmm. And you spoke about how you're a morning person and you put the orange cones up. And so I have this vision of you arising at 4 a.m. and creating this, I'll call it a kit or this solution. Is that a fair vision that you went and did the primary research and put these lists together and that kind of thing?
The way I've done every single program I've ever done from the very beginning is I'm not an ivory tower consultant. I'm like the gardener. I'm like rolling up the sleeves, getting dirty, getting in there, what's working, what's not working in all different scenarios. So like with this 180 people that I rolled this program out with, you don't have to be a creative genius if you pay attention to what works. So I would create something. Like, for example, I created an audio business card. So essentially it's scripted out. Here's what you say. Here's how somebody interviews you. Here's how everything from how do you put it together, the packaging, to like what, when you go to Office Depot, buy these CD cases, here's the item number. I mean, everything down to the detail, and created these things. And I give it to people and say, okay, go use this, implement this, and report back what worked, what didn't work, okay? Well, sometimes things don't work, right? Often in marketing, it doesn't work first time out, So then what we do is we figure, okay, what didn't work, what did work, let's build on what worked, let's try again and go again. And, when you're paying attention to people and I'm talking, every single day I'm in the trenches with my clients talking to somebody about what did you do, what's happened, now be specific, tell me this, show me the email you sent out, what exactly did they say, and then we formulate plan B, tell them, go again, report back. And if you do that enough, you start to see patterns. And that's why you'll hear me say over and over again, I'm a real big proponent of modeling. It's something that Tony Robbins taught me years ago. And essentially he said, if you want to get a result in anything in life, be it business, in your weight loss, in raising your children so they're happy, healthy people, go find somebody who's already got that result and find out what they do and just model it. Just 'cause people who are getting success have patterns. And if you look at multiple people who are getting having success, you see patterns. You see patterns in what they do. You see patterns in how they think. You see patterns in their activity and how aggressive they are. And different. And you know what? You see a lot of patterns for failure as well. And you pretty quickly can figure out what are the right approaches. And so all the marketing I've done in this program is really based on a decade of research in marketing IT services, but also this more recent group. So, yeah, I create them, but again, I don't sit there and go, okay, here's my creative brain, go put this out there. I mean, we've also done tons of research. I haven't even talked about this, Harry. One of the things we did with the previous group is we had them send out an email to their customers that was very similar to the Depth Finder email that's out on the site. You guys can go download it and use it right now. And we had them send this out to their clients and give feedback on what was most important to them when in cloud solutions. You know, so it's kind of hard to describe. If you read the email, you'll know it. I go into detail in a video. You guys can watch it. So I got instant feedback from the clients, the buyers of people out in the marketplace. And I took that information, and now I'm using it to craft marketing campaigns, because marketing's not about me sitting around smoking a funny cigarette trying to be creative and say, okay, what words do we come up with, or what offers do we come up with, or what should we talk about? It's really about the methodical process of going to buyers, finding out what do they want specifically, what are they looking for, what do they want to avoid, and then creating communications to speak to that, and creating products that fulfill on that. That's the key. See, most people don't approach marketing their services that way. Most of them look around and say, what is everyone else doing? And then they say, all right, we like this model, we're going to do this, and we're going to go offer it to our customers. And then they come to me and say, Robin, here's our product, help me sell it. Well, that's the wrong way to go about it. You want to go to your customers first, find out what do they want, what's missing. How would you compete against yourself if you had to go in and steal that client away from you? And when you figure that out, then it shows you how to create the service or product. Joe Polish, who was at my boot camp, had a really good slide. I believe it was Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, who said, what we do at Apple is we start with the user experience, and then we redesign it back to delivering the product. Maybe it was Steve Jobs. I'm not sure if it was, you know, yep. Bill Gates. I'm not sure. You have to help me. It was one of the
I remember the slide. It was awfully early Pacific on a Saturday morning, exactly. But I do remember the slide.
Right. So that's the right way. So you got to know how to go to your customers, find out what they want. Then that's how you create your cloud solution. Don't go out into the industry and get confused and overwhelmed, because every vendor is going to tell you, this is the cloud, this is the cloud, this is the cloud. You're going to hear everyone telling you, oh, that's stupid, don't be doing it that way, you need to do it this way, and buy my services. Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is, what will your customers buy? And that's what you need to design when it comes to cloud. And then you go to market that way, and that's how you make sure you get sales and happy customers, and it becomes effortless, and you're not trying to force people to see the value, because you've already done your homework and you've done it the right way. So that's how I've created the Cloud Integrator Blueprint, and that's what I'm going to be teaching in this new program when we open the enrollment. We actually start the live sessions next week.
Robin, I can't help but add, again, another example. You're talking about patterns being set, and I have a funny story quickly about sort of Revenge of the Nerds, and
uh-huh.
and with all due respect, present company included myself, some of the listeners, but you know, not all of us were the most handsome individuals in high school, and we knew who those people were. We saw those people. Well, here's the deal, Robin. We're all getting to mid-career, and I might be being a little generous in my case, but we'll call it mid-career,
uh-huh.
And the vote's in. Well, the vote's in. And the patterns you've developed throughout your career are, you see what I'm saying, it's starting to be telling, and it's a lot of times the nerd, the computer guy in high school and college, guess what? He's driving the nice car now.
Mm-hmm.
And so patterns, revenge of the nerds, I hope that makes sense. Hey, Robin, I know that there's some questions flowing in from online. Do you want to hop over to a couple of those?
Right, yeah. I want, exactly. If you guys have questions, I'm kind of going through. Rich, please post your questions on this chat role, and I will be looking for those questions. Also, if you're on the phone line, because we have a ton of people who dialed in on the phone, press 1 on your phone, and Sam, who's our operator, will get you lined up to ask a question of me or Harry, if you want to talk to Harry as well. We can do that. I think that just the one question I saw, earlier is one person, I'm trying to find it exactly now because there's a ton of chat that's now happening. I'm trying to, go through hundreds of comments at this point. But the one obviously about Office 365 or Google Apps, what do I have against them? Again, I don't have anything against them. It's just a matter of where are you going to make the money, in selling cloud solutions. The other question was someone posted, like, what is the cloud? What is the right solution? And again, guys, there is really no one right solution. It's the solution that you feel is best for your customer base. So I would say what you want to do is look at your customers right now and then think to yourself, if you were competing against you, knowing everything you know about those customers and your service delivery, you know all the chinks in the armor, you know where you're strong, you know where you're weak. If another competitor were to come in and steal those customers away, what would that competitor have to do, say, or promise? And that should, if you sit down and think about that, that gives you the answer of what you need to go create to serve those customers better. So you roll out cloud that way. And maybe it's simply just rolling out cloud backup, hosted exchange, or whatever. I mean, that in of itself. Maybe you just do some marketing to explain to your customers and your prospects, what is cloud computing and what are the benefits? And you focus it on cloud backup, and maybe you just answer questions, what is Office 365? What are the pros and cons? Because here's the thing, Harry, people have to realize every one of you is in the business of providing advice, right? So what is advice? It's opinion. People come to me because they want Robin's opinion about marketing, right? So whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I got to have an opinion about that. So, and I got to tell the marketplace that. So you guys need to start investigating these different solutions just so you can formulate your opinion. Now, I think we do have a question, Sam, that came in on the phone.
Yes, our first question will come from Tammy Schwartz. Tammy Schwartz, your line is open.
Tammy?
Tammy, your line is open if you wanted to ask your question. Okay, we'll go to the next one then. I have Brian Beats. Ryan, your line is open.
Ryan?
Hi there, Robin.
Hey.
Brian Beats, Computer Troubleshooters over in Dallas.
Hey.
Actually, I just had a question about, we've got a little bit different of a market mix. We're about 80% residential, 20% commercial. And I was wondering how you would take advantage of all this cloud stuff in terms of marketing it to residential clients and if you think there's opportunity to be had there.
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, if you've got customers who are paying you money and you like those customers and they're profitable, I think the question really is, first off, there's opportunity in explaining what is the cloud. So I think they're probably trying to figure out what is Office 365, what is Apple's iCloud. They want to know that. They want to know, like, kind of pros and cons. I think residential, real easy, or even in business, I think offsite backup is really key. And maybe, warning them against ones like Carbonite or whatever. I mean, you have to pick your solution. But I think offsite backup is really critical. I think that maybe some kind of like hosted exchange or something like that. So I think, in residential there is opportunity. Again, most people are not going to be giving up their device. They're not going to be giving up their laptop or their phone or their whatever. So there's still, I think, opportunity for remote management, logging in, antivirus, help desk support, those kinds of things. I think with the big opportunity, and I'll ask you this, is have you even gone to your customers on a frequent basis, like every other week, to tell them what is cloud and how can they benefit from it?
No, we're not in contact with our customers nearly as often as every other week.
So that's
More every other month.
Yeah, see, that's your challenge. That's your big opportunity. Your big opportunity is to figure out a way via email, and I like offsite. I like at least one touch to customers that is print material every month, where you're touching them and you're staying top of line. You'd be amazed what happens. You're talking referrals, repeat business. Yeah, maybe you just highlight a different service offering and you give them a little bit of education, because that way you stay top of mind and they think of you. Because also, 80% of those residential people, they all work somewhere, right? I mean, they're going to work somewhere. And so it could be an easy way to stay top of mind and flip those people into some sort of a business opportunity. But I think, Ryan, this is the big thing. Cloud is like, it's just a new tool in the toolbox. It's managed managed services, cloud compute, whatever it is. The key is you need to be the person that when I think about technology and I've got questions, I go to Ryan because he's the guy I trust. He's the guy I know. He's the one educating me. And if you're not testing your customers, you know, if you're not communicating with them, you can't. You don't have that position in their mind, and you're losing tons of opportunity right there, possibly even customers. Because again, like I was mentioning earlier, I'm seeing clients that are putting on webinars or lunch and learns and getting 20 to 80 people to sign up. Now, those 20 to 80 people are all outsourcing their IT support somewhere, right? I mean, so think about it.
Right.
Would you want one of your good business customers going to one of your competitors' webinars or seminars?
Absolutely not.
Well, then you better get on this game right away, you know, because it's happening. It is happening right now. And as more people start coming online and start selling cloud and marketing cloud, you're going to – it's the perfect storm. I've never seen this kind of response. So if anything, you just need to start educating them, even if it's a blog post or it's a newsletter. And even if you're not selling all-in cloud solutions yet, at least be talking to people about cloud. And an easy one is cloud backup. Office 365, Google Apps, pros and cons of those, right? Just kind of educating people. And I don't know what other solutions you may sell, but, you know, if you sell one to something to a customer and it's a really good solution, highlight that customer in a success story. You know, if you go out to our blog, which is, you know, the one on Cloud Integrator Blueprint, we have another blog. We call it the Technology Marketing Minute. And if you go there, you're going to see we put articles up there. We put case studies up there all the time, and people, like, love it. I mean, we get a lot of good feedback because that's our printed newsletter, it's our online newsletter, but you've got to have that presence, otherwise you're losing tons of opportunity.
Understood.
All
Thanks,
right.
Robin.
All right. Hang on the line there, and let's see here. Build that. Okay, so Charles Keating, Robin, if your customers are looking to you for solutions because you're the expert, then you can't expect them to self select the solution for your offer and then build that. There's levels of what they are willing to pay and what kind of solutions they need. Beyond that, they're expecting us to filter the offerings out and determine what's best for them. I agree. We're in perfect agreement. Your customers are looking to you for solutions, so they're looking to you to educate them. What is cloud and what should they be looking at? What do you see in your professional opinion? What do you think is good? I'll tell you another thing. I've got clients who are anti-cloud. Right now, they're going out and educating their customers, telling them, don't buy the cloud because there's security issues. What if the Internet goes down? Internet connectivities aren't great in this area, and therefore it's a weak point. Things don't work as well on print, like scanning and printing and some different things don't really work well in the cloud. So there are some MSPs that are not all pro-cloud, but they're still using the cloud hype to their advantage. They're still going to their customers saying, here is my professional opinion about cloud computing, and here's where I think it will benefit you, here's where I think you need to avoid it. But my point is, I'm not here to tell you what your professional opinion is. That is up to you to do. I'm telling you there's opportunity there by educating your customers and prospects about the cloud and having a point about it. Like, I'll give you an example. When I was when Facebook and Twitter was just all the rage, when it first came out, I was very much anti-Twitter and anti-Facebook. I said to my guys, I'm like, look, I'm not saying you can't use it in some way, but look, if you don't have good lead flow and you're struggling to get more sales in the door and you don't have these, your website is not good and you don't have a good sales system and you're not doing referral marketing and you're not doing JVs, then you got no business being on Facebook and Twitter. So I had a very strong opinion and I got a lot of flack for it because I felt that, you know, it's a nice ancillary. It's like parsley on the plate, but it's not the steak. So that was my professional opinion, and it didn't go along with what everyone said. But people came to me because they want that opinion. They want me to guide them through this, just like your customers want you to guide them through it. Again, I'm not here to tell you what your cloud solution is. I'm not here to tell you what your professional opinion should be. What I'm saying is you need to go to your customers and find out how you can use cloud to better serve them and to deliver even better quality services and then, of course, profit from that. Harry, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Robin, what I was going to add is, you know, and I forgive me, but I love my analogies, is that,
yeah, sure.
Folks, you know, you're in a senior professional capacity, okay? Is that fair? You've started your MSP practice. You're perhaps the owner, most likely the owner. And with that comes a lot of responsibility where you're in a little bit of a diplomatic and even a political role. And Robin, to kind of pivot off of the cloud hype, think of it this way, guys, if this helps you out, is that if you were a U.S. senator, or better yet, a candidate right now, you would talk about the popular issues of the day.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily introduce an unpopular issue. And cloud is a popular issue. Now, you may vote against it. You may vote for it, but
exactly.
It's a popular issue.
And you got to have it. And that's a perfect analogy. Thank you, Harry. Because, yeah, exactly. But you can't ignore it. You can't just say, well, I don't have an opinion on this. You know, I mean, you have to have that opinion. So there's another question that came in. Ed is saying, does it make sense to develop a cloud solution for a specific vertical and start there? Ed, I think, yeah, I mean, if you are in a particular vertical and you understand that vertical and you understand how they buy, what they need, how they operate and work, then, yeah, go for that. I think if you're not in that particular vertical, then I think what you do is you start with your existing customers because you know them better than anybody else. They like you. Hopefully they like you and they trust you. So you start with your existing customers and adding cloud solutions to the bevy of solutions you're already selling. That enables you to get your feet wet, to kind of understand the pros and cons. It helps you figure out different solutions. It helps get you some experience using these different new cloud solutions. It also gives you good testimonials. And so you want to start there. I mean, Frito-Lay or some of these big companies, they don't just start manufacturing new products and say, okay, let's manufacture all these products and put it out there and see if people will buy. They never do that. They start small with focus groups, and then they'll roll it out to specific regions of the country that they know that will be telltale whether or not this thing is going to sell. And then if it passes that, then it goes on to be a national. And then so they roll it out in small bite-size releases, if you will. And they always start with existing customers and heavy users because they're the people that are going to be most likely to say yes. They're going to give you feedback. They're going to be involved. And that's really what you want to do right now. And while you're figuring out your cloud solution, again, at a minimum, you need to be communicating with your clients what is cloud, what are the benefits, pros and cons, those types of things. Let's see.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, Rob, I think we have time for a handful of more questions. We're starting to see the top of the hour here, but what else is rolling in?
Let's see here. I got another. Gareth is asking, how do you think the Cloud Integrator Blueprint would integrate into the UK market? I get loads of great advice from you guys, but question whether UK has a different buying style. You know, I don't know, Gareth. I think it's kind of like the Henry Ford quote, whether you believe it will or it won't, you're right. I think it really depends on how you interpret it. I've got plenty of clients in Great Britain. I've got clients in Hong Kong. I've got clients in South Africa, in Australia. And, in fact, last year we had Stephen Swavely from Australia got phenomenal results using the marketing. In fact, he was our second runner-up and won a Rolex watch. So, you know, I think it really just depends on whether or not you're going to filter it and sit there and go, that'll never work for us, that'll never work for our customers. It really depends on your attitude. Now, I lived in England for a year, and the language is a little different, but the motivations are the same. And essentially what I teach you in the Cloud Integrator Blueprint is not exactly how I do give you the exact words. Obviously, you'll have to change that for spelling and so forth and just local language. But the premise is really about uncovering and talking to your customers. And I teach you how to do that, to have your own voice. So I think, yeah, I think it'll work. And I guess I should mention that I always have a money-back guarantee on my product. So if you buy it and you go, I just don't think this is going to work for whatever reason, I give you your money back. So it's not like you risk anything. So, look, the bottom line, if you're getting the results in your business you want, then keep on doing what you're doing. But if you're not getting leads, you're not really figuring out this cloud thing, you don't know how to close sales, and you're struggling, then why wouldn't you try something new? I don't understand why people are – they want change. They want more clients. They want more money. They want less hassle in their business. They want easier, better clients. But they don't want to change what they're doing. And it's like, well, you know, input's got to is going to equal output. So you got to change the input. You got to change what you're doing right now.
I hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like funny. Like, I want to lose weight, but I still want to eat pizza, burgers, and chocolate cake every day. Well, you know, you ain't going to get there, you know.
Robin, I'll one-up you while you're looking for the next question. But I on the left hand, I'm working out an hour a day, if not more, with the biking. Robin, the problem is the right hand is I misbehave at night with the food and beverages and kind of negate all the goodness.
Right? I know it. You can
we're working on it, Robin.
Exactly.
We're working on it.
Right. Well, I mean, but you can, exactly, and that's the same in business. I think it's, you know, the way I teach marketing, yeah, it's new. It's going to be different than what you see. That's why it works, because if you look around at most IT consultants and you look at their marketing, if you copy it, you're going to get the same results, and people are getting abysmal results. And most managed service providers, IT consultants, whatever you want to call them, they're getting business, whatever they hope floats their way through referrals. And so some actually do okay with that, but the majority are barely scraping by. They're not getting anywhere near the number of leads. I mean, most are getting, if they get a couple of appointments a month, they're doing well. I mean, and they're struggling. They're going, I need to do better marketing. So they try Twitter, or they try Facebook, or they do one direct mail campaign, or they try these one-off things, and they hop from one thing to the next, never really making a commitment, never really learning the process, and getting all frustrated and still wanting the results of more clients, better clients, more profits, all the things, but they don't want to do anything to change it. So, I mean, if that's you, I can't help you. I mean, it's like, one of my favorite Vince Lombardi quotes was his response to a question, and somebody asked him, Vince, how do you motivate the team? You know, you've got this winning football team. How the heck do you motivate them? And Vince said, you know what, I don't motivate them. If they need motivation, they're cut from the team. And it's kind of that way in business. If you're not motivated to do something new and really be aggressive and learn how to be a better marketer and change things, and, you know, it's not as hard as you think, but if you don't have that motivation, that burning desire like Napoleon Hill talked about, I can't help you because I can't make you want something. I can't make you motivated. All motivation is self-motivation. Now, yeah, I could be the crazy redhead, and I can say things that make you, you know, feel a certain way and remind you of what you should be doing and motivate you. But at the end of the day, it's you and the computer, and you get to decide what you do. And, again, if you're not getting the results, you got to try something different. I think that's it. I think most of the chatter that's online is kind of just commenting back and forth. I don't see many other questions. There's a lot of it,
sure.
So maybe I'm just losing the questions in there. Let me check real quick. Sam, I don't think we have any more dialed in questions, correct?
At this time, we do not have any more questions.
Okay. Well, we're a little over the hour, and Harry, I know
sure.
You have to get a plane. So here's what I will say. If you guys have any questions, if I missed anything, shoot an email to ask@technologymarketingtoolkit.com. And I'll make sure I'll look at those questions and I'll respond via email. So just to, you know, to help you guys out.
Hey, Robin, I totally want to thank you for participating in what's a special edition teleseminar for us today. And fantastic to hear about the launch of your new cloud program. Folks, want to give a shout-out to Robin as well. Did you know that Robin was named to the SMB 150 list, the contest, the election that just concluded back in March, and the results were announced in April. And Robin, I understand that you're double booked and will not be able to join us in Los Angeles.
Yeah, even my staff, I was like, okay, which one of you can go? And Jeff's going to this place, and Andrew's going here. I'm like, so I regret we won't be able to make it, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you what, send us some comments that we can read to the audience nonetheless in your absence, and we'll drop that BlackBerry Playbook prize and your plaque in the mail. So congratulations. Your daughter's going to love it. Yeah, it's a daughter, correct? Your child is a daughter?
Yeah, Jamie, little Jamie,
okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
She's going to love it.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we're still working on. Maybe I can get my current spokesperson, John Matazzetti, or maybe Fred Reck, you know, who was our runner-up this year. Maybe I can get one of them to represent me. But, yeah, well, unfortunately, I've got an event, so I'm, like, delivering an event. I can't be in two places, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and the same to the audience. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day. And, Robin, I guess it's back to the salt mine, and you're right. I'm going to go hop on the plane and fly down to Kaseya. And I think your own Jeff Johnson's down at Kaseya. Is that correct, Robin?
Yeah, Jeff's there right now, you know, quote-unquote working in Vegas. I don't know if you can actually do that or not, but he's, like, online. And Robin Yost will be with him. So, yeah, we will have there. Yeah. So
I'll see you in a couple hours. Thank you very much, Robin.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, everyone.
This officially ends our call. Have a great afternoon.